recognize the song, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. It's a blessing. Take your Bibles, Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4. This is not a prophetic message, although there's some prophecy in it. Amen. But we'll read some of these verses. And if you want to go to Sunday school, you can go, but you have to be a child. You cannot go as an adult. Amen? And, that's okay. Amen. Revelation chapter 4. Let's read beginning here in verse 10. Revelation 4 and verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. 24 elders, that's a picture of the church. And it says, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. We sang this in one of the songs, but it says, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God created us for his pleasure. I think it was Mark Twain, he said there's two dates everybody should know, the day of their birth and the purpose of their birth, the purpose of their life. And when we come to that spiritually, it's a blessing. Look over at chapter 5, and we will begin reading here in verse 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. It's a worthy name. Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a glorious name. Let's bow and ask God's blessing. Father, we love you, and it is our prayer, Lord, that we love you more today. You said to love the Lord with all of our heart, and try as we will, Lord, we don't attain to that. But we want to love you more than we do. And I pray you'd open our hearts, help us to really experience worship today in our service. Help us to just have that liberty to know you and to feel you and to love you. Bless all that's done now in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a verse in John chapter 4, and I think it's verse 24, where Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's an important verse because worship obviously is from the heart. The old timers used to have what they called call to worship. And that's what they did when they got to church. They said it's a call to worship and people would come in for that reason. In Psalm 95 and verse 6, the psalmist said, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And that was worship. There was a humility involved in that. Remember the old song? I think it's in our hymn book, but brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. So if we pray, and if in our service we do that, it says, holy manna will fall all around. And so that's a spirit that is created for worshiping Almighty God. Worship means this: honor, affection, extravagant love, extreme submission, reverence, respect. Reverence is the key to ethics. We had an ethics course, which is behavior, proper behavior. And when you reverence or respect something, it affects your behavior. So what we believe about the Lord or feel about the Lord affects how we live for the Lord. Salvation is a gift. It's a great gift. If you're saved here today, that's a pretty wonderful thing. Amen? And there are so many things that go along with that. There are things that accompany salvation. And one is the love of God. We love him. Think about that. Because when you talk about worship, you talk about extreme love. You talk about honor. You talk about adoration. And that's a real connection with the Lord. Do you love your mate? Yeah. Yeah. Somebody say amen. You know, I mean, that was I'm going to change the message here in a minute, you know. And you love your children and you love your parents and you feel that love. Well, this is a great love. We're talking about loving the Lord with all our heart. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So that's one of the things that salvation brings. It brings a love for God. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we love him because he first loved us. And we experience that love. That love is a gift from Almighty God. It's a blessing. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So we're born of the Spirit. Amen? So it's not a dead religion. It's not form. It's not ritual. It's not, you know, my way. It is God. It's a real connection with Almighty God. The desire to worship is a gift. You cannot work it up. You just ask God for it. Amen? That's how we're saved. That's how salvation comes. But the desire to worship. In Matthew chapter 2, the wise men came and they said, we have come to worship him. And so our Christmas songs, it's almost that time. We almost sang, O come, let us adore him today. And that would have been okay, amen? Christ the Lord, but that's a great, great song. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is on the Mount of Temptation, and the devil comes to him and says, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. All this I'll give you if you fall down and worship me. Verse 10, Jesus responded, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan. He said, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So there's a picture of what we are supposed to worship. But the very next verse really, really shows us a truth here. It says, then the devil leaveth him. The devil wants our allegiance. The devil wants our worship. The devil wants us to value him and the things of the devil, this world, some of the things in this world. And God wants us to value him and worship him. And when we win a victory over that, then the devil leaveth him. It's a real principle in the Word of God. We have three words here, and we'll kind of take a look at all three of these. But it's worthy as the Lamb, but worthy comes from the word worth. Worship comes from the word worth because it means valuable. You ever hear somebody say, what's it worth to you? You know, and it can be in a number of things, but then you look and you say, really, what is this worth to me? Is this worth giving this up, sacrificing this, paying this price, saying these words? Is that worth it to me? Well, God wants us to say he is worthy. He is worth that. Amen? And so that's why we follow his word. Unto you which believe, he is precious. That is a gift. If you feel that, you believe, and now Jesus has become precious to you, that is a wonderful gift from Almighty God that you feel that way. It's valuable. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible does talk about the things of God, and they are precious. If it's God, it's good. Amen? And it's good for us. I want to look at several people that kind of didn't have that and gave that up. And then we'll get positive. There's positive, negative, and we end on a positive note. Amen? It's better than ending on a negative note. And pray that I keep my breath here. Sometimes I get short of breath because of what I've been through here. And so pray that I'm able to finish this. I plan to finish about 4 o'clock. Amen? So keep on praying. Judas, think of Judas in the Bible. And he betrayed the Lord. But if you've read that story, Matthew 26:15, Judas said unto them, unto the chief priests, what will you give me? Now remember, Matthew 4:9, the devil said, all these things will I give you if you'll do this. But here's Judas, and he says, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. That's chapter 26, verse 15. Matthew 27, 9, and they took, this is after Judas went out and hung himself. 27, 9, and they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. They valued Christ at 30 pieces of silver. If you go to the Old Testament, that is the price of a slave. That wasn't an exorbitant amount at all. And so here, that was the value. And Judas said, "Give me this, and I'll betray the Lord." You have a story in the Old Testament about Balaam, and he's, if you've ever read that, Numbers 22, he is a hireling prophet. He's a prophet of God, but he became a hireling. And there's a king, Balak, who wanted to hire him to curse the nation of Israel. And so Balaam said, "No, I'm not going to do that." In that chapter, there's a verse that talks about the rewards of divination. And so they sent to him, and he says, "No, I can't do that." So they sent more honorable people to him, and they upped the price and upped the price. Every man has his price, you know. And that's where we get that saying. But anyway, finally, the nation of Israel was cursed because of some advice that Balaam gave Balak. 2 Peter 2:15, "Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." So he made a choice. He valued something better than the Lord, better than the will of God. We also have in Jude verse 11, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward." And then you get to Revelation, and it's the doctrine of Balaam. And all of these things God puts in the Bible, and sometimes you have to really dig to see all of them. But you see decisions being made where the value is skewed. The value of something, well, that's so valuable to me, but it's worthless. It's nothing. The Apostle Paul said, "I count all things but loss, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung." That was what the value that he put on it, if it wasn't of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read about another person. His name is Demas. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed." Paul said that. He was Paul's fellow laborer, but he left the work because he valued the world. And we see that. So it's kind of like a rogue's gallery here. Job 21:15, "What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?" I would say there's a lot of profit in prayer. Amen? I would say there's a lot of profit in serving Jesus. Amen? You also have Malachi 3:14. "Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance?" To profit means to benefit. And to have a spiritual benefit, we see our profit in serving the Lord. Amen? We see our profit in worshiping God. We see our profit in adoration, in exaltation of Almighty God, because he is precious to us. And that preciousness is a gift from God. Amen? So every good and perfect thing cometh down from above. God gives that. It's just a blessing to have that. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" There are a number of verses in the Bible that show us that principle. But I want to show the other side of that. We are not worthy. He is worthy. Amen? And you see that in a number of stories. John the Baptist, John 1:27. "He it is," by the way, as a Christian, I would really look at my heart, or as a professing Christian, I would really look at my heart and what my estimation of Jesus is. Is he precious? Are the things of Christ precious to me? That doesn't mean the flesh doesn't get you once in a while. It doesn't mean you don't ride the roller coaster or have a bad day, or even a just man falleth seven times but riseth up again. But I'm talking about there's a time where you really worship God because he has your heart. I would look at that. John 1:27, this is John the Baptist. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. This is John the Baptist. And Jesus said about him, there's no greater man ever born than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist saying, I am not worthy. I am not worthy at all. You have in Matthew chapter 8, there's a centurion and his servant is ill. And he asked the Lord to come to his house and or to pray for him and come to his house. And Jesus says, I'll go with you. But he said this in verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. He said, I am not worthy that you come to my house. Just say the word. Think of the honor and glory he gave to Jesus' word and ultimately to Jesus. This is the word of God. Amen? This is God's word. And by honoring the word and believing the word and having faith in the word and magnifying the word, we're magnifying God. This is a precious book. Wonderful words of God. Amen? So we spend time in the Bible, don't we? Why do we do that? Why do we memorize the Bible and spend time in the Bible? Because it honors the Lord. He said, hide these words in your heart, and you'll not sin against me. Precious, precious, precious. And we even preach to music. Amen? See how the music comes down and just fills the room? It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful how God does it. It's a miracle. Amen? It's a miracle. We have in Luke chapter 15, that's the story of the prodigal son. You're familiar with that story. And there's a certain man, he has two sons, and one son says, give me all my inheritance, I'm out of here. And he takes off, and he goes into a far country, and he wastes all his living, all his inheritance, everything that the father worked for to give that boy. He wastes it on riotous living. He ends up in a hog pen. Amen? You familiar with the story? And finally, he comes to himself. That's a wonderful day when people come to themselves, see what they've done. But there's great news here. He didn't know it yet, but there's great news. And so he was impressed to go home, to make that long journey. And I've said before, as he's making that long journey, because he went into a far country, so that's a long journey, he's coming back. He's already had a change of heart, but that's a long trip to live with that guilt. That's a long trip to be convicted of the results of somebody's sin. And probably a lot of us have been there at one time or another. And he's rehearsing in his mind what to say to his father. He has got it down. He has got a prayer down. He knows his father is a good man, and so he's going to appeal to that. But he is truly repentant. He is truly an about face. He's going back to the Father. And as he gets there, he says this in Luke 15, 19. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And if you know the rest of the story, it says that the father said, we'll have none of that. Not those words, but that's what he meant. And he said, bring the best robe, shoes for his feet, ring for his finger, kill the fatted calf. We are going to have a party. I am no more worthy. No, we're going to have a party. You see, when that sinner that went into the temple, the one sinner that would not so much as lift up his eyes unto the Lord, but smote his breast and said, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember the message on mercy? And that man went home justified. That's all we need. That's all we need. We are not worthy of the least of his mercies. Not of the least. In Genesis chapter 32, we read about Jacob. And Jacob was a manipulator. Have you ever manipulated? Maybe not. You probably know somebody that did. And if you haven't, maybe ask some of your friends and they'll say, yeah, you did. You know, I don't know. I think all of us have a little bit of Jacob in us. He was a manipulator. He knew how to twist things to get his own way, you know. And so anyway, He and his brother had a falling out. Esau wanted to kill him, so he took off. And now he's coming back. God told him to come back. We're in Genesis chapter 32. And he says this to the Lord. He said, God, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. And he meant that. His brother is going to come out to meet him. He's going to meet his brother. But the last time they were together, his brother wanted to kill him. So he's praying now. I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies. If you're familiar with that chapter, God comes and wrestles with him in that chapter. And he's wrestling with God. And he won't let the Lord go. And the Lord said, let me go. And he said, no. He was fighting against him, and now he's clinging to him. And he just won't let him go. So the Lord touches him and puts his thigh out of joint there. And you find in Hebrews, for the rest of his life, he halted. He walked with a cane or a crutch, because that was what a reminder of that meeting with God. See, all our meetings with God are not yippee yahoo, you know. I come out of this with the winner. No, as long as God wins. And during that wrestling match, God said to Jacob, what is your name? Now, God knows everything, right? Adam, where art thou? Oh, I lost Adam. Man, he's somewhere in this garden, but where did he go? No, God knew where Adam and Eve were. God wanted Adam and Eve to know where they were, right? And so here he said, what is your name? And Jacob said, probably with his head hanging down, my name is Jacob. Genesis chapter 27. This is chapter 32. Genesis chapter 27. Esau is the older son. He's going to get the birthright, but Jacob and Mama plan to deceive Daddy, Isaac, who can't see very well. And so Esau's out hunting for a meal to bring in and fix for his dad and then get the birthright. But while he's out there, Mom and Jacob have a plan. Look, your brother's a hairy man, and we're going to take some fur and we're going to put it on you, some coats, and because your dad can't see. And so he's gonna touch you, and he's going to see whether you're Esau or not. And so they got him all fixed up. They fixed some food. In he went. And his father Isaac said, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said, I'm Esau. Ah, God wanted to bring him in chapter 32 back to that moment to show him how unworthy he really was. And he said, my name is Esau. And Isaac said, come here, let me touch you. And he touched him and he said, the feel is the feel of Esau, but the voice is the voice of Jacob. Don't go by your feelings, go by the word. Amen? It's a good principle. And so now God says, what's your name? And he says, I'm Jacob. The prodigal son came to himself. Amen? I mean, there's all kinds of illustrations in the Bible about this, where God shows us that we are unworthy. Our worth is in him. And it's so easy to receive. Remember the message on mercy and the message before that and the message before that. All the fitness he requireth is for you to fill your need of him. And this is not a competition. Well, I love God more than you, and I can say amen louder than you, and I'm always chipper. Sometimes chipper people. That doesn't mean you're right with the Lord. Amen? But to love God, don't you want to love God? Don't you want to adore him? Don't you want to value him? Because reverence determines how we respond to God. It's got to be in our heart. And that is something that is a gift of God. Amen? You cannot work that up. It's a gift from Almighty God. It's what we ought to pray for. But sin has separated between you and your God. So the prodigal turns around and he comes home. Amen? Jacob, yeah, I'm Jacob. I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies. But God did something wonderful for Jacob. He said, thou shalt no more be called Jacob, but you're going to be called Israel. You're a prince with men. Man, think of that. Think about, well, maybe you don't want to think about it. There's a prayer that I pray all the time. It's in the Psalms. Lord, don't remember the sins of my youth. Amen. And you really only have to pray it one time because God's so good to us. Amen. And you don't want to live in the past or under the condemnation because God wants to throw a party for you. God wants to have joy and music and happiness. No matter what you've done in the past, you're not worthy no matter what you've done, even if you have done a lot of good things. We're not worthy of the least of his mercies, but God is worthy, and he blesses us. What a blessing. What a blessing for all of that. Job said, I abhor myself. Job, there's never been anybody like him. There's nobody like my servant Job. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. All of the things about Job, 38 chapters of squeaky clean. And then chapter 38, that began to break because God really put his finger on what Job was all about. There was a real pride involved there. There was a real self-defense involved in there. And we come to chapter 42, the last chapter in the book of Job. And it says, I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. That's Job. Don't you think we ought to be in that? You know, Peter said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. The Apostle Paul, chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Why? Because Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. We're all the same. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Amen? But God is faithful. He'll make a way to escape. What is it? Elijah was a man of like passions. We are all the same. We all have a past. And we don't want to repeat some of those things. Amen? And we feel unworthy. Man, how could God? He is God. He is love. God is love. And so he forgives. All the fitness he requires is for you to feel your need of him. Such a blessing. Why do we worship him? Who wouldn't worship him? Amen? The throne of mercy, the throne of grace, the mercy seat, all of those things. Fritz Kreisler was a master violinist. He was born in Vienna in 1875. I mean, just very, very famous. Could play the violin, just made beautiful, beautiful, beautiful music. And he heard of a rich man that had a Stradivarius. I don't know if you're familiar with that brand of a violin, but it's very, very valuable. Only, I don't know how many made, but not a lot. It wasn't an assembly line. And very valuable. And he heard of this man, and he went to see it just so he could see it. And he walked in the door, and they talked for a while. And he told him his business, why he was there. And he said, I would just love to see that violin. And the man brought it out, opened the case, and showed it to him. And he said, boy, could I hold it? And the man said, sure, and handed it to him. And then the man said to him, would you like to play it? Think of the excitement there. I mean, for somebody who loved music and loved that instrument, and he played it for a while, and the very wealthy man said at the end of his music, said, you love music so much, and you love that instrument. Would you like to have it? And he was beside himself, but he received it, and he went home with it. Amen? He loved it so much, God gave it to him. God gave him that. You know, love has a way of increasing. Amen? And so when we love the Lord and we appreciate his mercy and we look for his benefits all day and we're seeing how God is ministering to us and helping us and blessing us, it just keeps growing. And he becomes more valuable to us. Amen? That's just a blessing. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, all glory to him, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I am not worthy, but he is worthy. And because he is worthy of all praise, all glory, all power, amen, I am accepted in him. So when Almighty God sees me, I'm a believer in Christ, he sees his son. Isn't that amazing? And that's Bible, amen? When I receive Christ, Christ in me, I'm in Christ. I am accepted in the beloved. I'm unworthy of heaven. I'm unworthy of forgiveness. Amen. But I don't have to worry about that because I've made Christ my Savior. He is worthy. That's just something to enjoy. A story was told by a man who loved old books. He met a friend who had just thrown away an old Bible that he found stored in the attic of his ancestral home for generations. And he said to him, he threw this Bible away and he said, somebody by the name of Guten something, had printed it. And his friend said, was it Gutenberg? And he said, his friend exclaimed in horror, why, yes, I think it was. That Bible was one of the first books ever printed. And a copy of it has sold for as much as $2 million. If you've got an old Gutenberg somewhere in your house, put it in the offering plate, amen? His friend was unimpressed, and he said, well, I threw it away. I don't know what it's worth, but mine wouldn't have brought a dollar. Some fella named Luther had scribbled all over it in German. Martin Luther. And then whoever wrote this said, some people can know the cost of everything, but the worth of nothing. The worth. Is it worth it? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. Amen? It will be worth it all. No, I want what's worth it now. You may get a lot that's worth it now, amen, and still get very wonderful spiritual blessings. I'm not saying that, but we know. We know when we're being Jacob, and we know when we're being Demas, and we know when we're being the prodigal. We know. So it's different for everybody, amen. That's a personal thing. Shouldn't judge somebody, but we know. When the heart gets cold or, you know, it's all about this or it's all about that. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? I want you to take your Bible and turn to one last scripture. This is 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to follow along with me as we read these verses and then we'll be done. Is it worth it? You know, I was saved 22 years old, and got called into the ministry shortly after that. God has taken me here, and he's taken me there. And Linda and I have been through some wonderful experiences and some very trying experiences. And but we prayed this morning, and we prayed last night before we pillowed our heads. It's worth it. It's worth anything. And one day, it'll be worth it all. We'll be with the Lord. But we're unworthy servants. Better get to this, because I did say I was closing, didn't I? But I said earlier I was going to speak till 4 o'clock. So I got to decide which one to do. Look at verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, it doesn't say not any, it says not many after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, precious scripture, sanctification and redemption. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. All glory, all power, all reverence, amen, unto the Lamb who gave himself for us. If you go through your Bible in the New Testament and you read these salvation experiences, these salvation stories, you'll find one thing true over and over and over, that God loves and has mercy on sinners. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Isn't that simple? It's just so wonderful. And that, when that is real, produces something in here, because you're a new creature in Christ. Let's bow our heads, please. Our Father, please, may we leave here today with the thought that we are not worthy, but you are. And because all of the blessings, the spiritual blessings, come from you, that we would just glorify you, Lord, in this life. And even on our deathbed, Lord, we glorify you. Father, give us a spirit of worship and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.